So today is the Tirubhav, or disappearance day, of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And it's quite significant in terms of his stature and the line of, and we see the sequence of when we celebrated, you know, the appearance of Srila Saraswati Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu's appearance, Advaita Acharya's appearance. It's all Sunday is Gaur Purnima. So it's not coincidental that at this time Madhavendra Puri's disappearance is there. And the disappearance bears special significance because of what his special realization at that time. Because we know generally we're celebrating appearance, disappearance, but why the disappearance is being given so much importance is because what he expressed at that time of leaving the world. He's voicing sentiments from Srimati Radharani herself. So as he is expressing separation, and we'll speak something about that a little later. But he is, we're told, this guru's Lakshmipati means in the Madhva Sampradaya. So sometimes we hear this described as, you know, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Like we hear the four sampradayas. Brahma, it was, I don't know, Rudra, Lakshmi, Sri, and what else? Brahma, Vishnu. But then Madhva, that Madhva Charja, he was, his connection with Vyas in the Himalaya. Vyas is there mystically at his ashram at the time of Madhva. And still, we can say from an eternal point of view, but Madhva has his direct connection with Vyasadeva. But we'll see the emphasis of Madhvacharya's line is Vishnu Bhakti. So how do you get from there to Krishna Bhakti? Srila Guru Maharaj wrote one article that he titled The Pontifical Position of Madhavendra Puri. And we know, for example, the Pope, he's called the Pontiff. That's one of his titles. So we can think, oh, it in the sense of, you know, the head, the leader. But the word's also interesting in that it's a reference to a bridge as well. So we see that actually Madhavendra Puri is the bridge from the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya to the Gaudiya Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Because these deep sentiments of not only Krishna Bhakti, but Krishna Bhakti in its highest form of expression as given by Srimati Radharani is manifesting in the heart of Madhavendra Puri. Right? So as Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami describes as the Bhakti Lata Kapatru, he's the of Krishna Prem, the desire tree of Krishna Prem. Saying Madhavendra Puri is the first sprout. And this sort of sentiment first appears in him. We see when Mahaprabhu in his travels meets the so-called Shanoria Brahmin, and there this expression comes, Madhavendra Puri Sambandha Darajani. In recognition of the type of devotion in Mahaprabhu, saying this Madhavendra Puri Sambandha, there must be a connection with Madhavendra Puri, or this sort of thing is not possible. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Dev himself, he is that Kalpatru, it's told. He's the tree, he's the gardener, and his Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivast, they're the main branches of the tree. But Madhavendra Puri, we're told, is the first sprout. Right? These, the highest sort of divine sentiments, the Mahabhab of Srimati Radharani, is expressed, appeared in his heart and was expressed by him before leaving this world. And that Madhavendra Puri, told he was so absorbed in Krishna Prem that he didn't know whether it's like day or night or what his location is. So absorbed internally. He's not dependent upon anything externally. If something comes to him, someone brings some prasadam, right? He's taking that. But otherwise, if nothing comes, he's not disturbed by that. And we're told he goes to Vrindavan, to Govinda Kunda, in fact. And he's there, and again, he's taking Krishna Nam, he's oblivious to the external world, he is fully absorbed internally, and not asking for anything from anyone, not begging anything. And a cowherd boy, a young cowherd boy from the local village comes and brings him some milk and says, what kind of meditation are you doing? What sort of dhyan are you doing? And that, you know, some ladies in the village nearby, they saw you here and they thought, oh, that sadhu, no one's taking care of him. He doesn't have anything to eat. So they sent me with this milk for you. So drink up, and I've got to go herd the cows. I'll be back for the pot later. So Madhavendra Puri, he's charmed by the beauty of this young cowherd boy. And he drinks that milk. It's extraordinary. And cleans everything. He's waiting, looking to see if that boy will return. The boy never returns. And we're told late into the evening, he's always taking Krishna Nam, absorbed internally. Then he drifts off into a sleep. And there he has a vision, dream, as however it shall be called. And there's that boy again, that cowherd boy who brought him the milk. And he says, you know, my name is Gopal. It's Krishna. But deity. And he's saying, and I've been in this forest for so long. I was hidden here and covered and dirt, you know, and I'm asking you to like take me out of there. And we're told that this Krishna's great-grandson's name was Vajra, and this was his deity. So he goes all the way back to that time. And what is, not only Gopal, but he's called Govardhana Dhari. So Govardhan, Dhari, means he's in that position. He's holding Govardhan Hill. That deity is still extant, but because of what happened in time, he was moved and from Govardhan by the descendants of Balabhacharya, and he's currently in a city called Natadwar. And he's known as Srinathji, but that's Madhavendra Puri's Gopal deity. And our beloved god brother, he was in Vrindavan, Naveen Krishna Prabhu, for those who were just in Vrindavan. He's from there, actually. His family has service to that deity. And so Madhavendra Puri wakes up in the morning and tells the local people this dream that he had, this vision, and they have to recover Gopal. And they go into the forest where Gopal gave direction, and they're cleaning away the brush and the earth, and they find the deity there. And he's all covered. They clean him. They say, oh, very heavy, this deity. So they get some very strong men, and they're carrying the deity. And at the time, told atop Govardhan Hill, they put one stone slab for the altar, another one behind it for some support. And there they install, well, they have Abhishek for Gopal. He's already Gopal. And they're pouring so much Ganga Jal and cleansing his divine form in different ways and making very shiny and beautiful and offering garments. And then just as in the time of Indra, when Krishna convinced everyone to take all the ingredients for Indra and offer them to him. As I've said, and what one of the lessons we learned from Govardhan is, there's this saying, you know, render to God what is God, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Here we learn, render to Krishna what is Caesar's. That you should also give to him. Because Caesar and Indra, same, but different. So that Madhavendra Puri, the word goes out, people from all the surrounding villages, they're bringing offerings. Every day they're cooking, they're having an Anakut festival, means they're making mountains of prasad bhog, they're offering to Gopal. And the word spreads, and each village, they want to come and do like the puja for that day or that week. And this is all under the direction of Madhavendra Puri. He brings some Bengali Brahmins to properly do the seva and puja. And also Gopal's storehouse is increasing. People are giving cows. Now he's got like 10,000 cows. Many ingredients, jewels, very opulent storehouse for the ingredients for the seva of Gopal. And it goes on this way for around 2 years. And interestingly, we're also told that Madhavendra Puri himself, every day, like when the puja is finished, in the evening, like originally when he met Gopal, he takes some milk. And very happily they're going on like this for 2 years with all the villages, they're doing the puja of Gopal, his glories are spreading. And then Gopal appears in a dream to Madhavendra Puri and says, I thought that all of this would relieve my body temperature is very hot from all the time being in the forest for such, you know, endlessly. And I thought it would bring my temperature down, yet still I'm feeling too much heat. So I want you to go to Jagannath Puri and get some sandalwood. They have like the good sandalwood pulp there. And they also use camphor. And bring that, and then maybe that will bring my body temperature down. So Madhavendra Puri, he is very happy to get this seva. From an external, objective point of view, we could say, he's so old at this time, this will be a great inconvenience for him. No such consideration. He's very happy to get this seva from Gopal. And it's, you know, it's like a back and forth, a 2,000 mile journey, or what would that be, you know, times one, two, 1.3, over 3,000 kilometers. And he's walking. So, but we're told when he is walking there, first, it's interesting, he goes to, he visits the house of Advaita Acharya. And this is, how you say, been immortalized in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As we hear about Advaita, Madhavendra Puri, when Mahaprabhu first met Rangapuri in South India, Rangapuri recalled being in Navadvip at the house of Sachi Misra, that means his mother, Sachi Mata, and tasting this inconceivably wonderful mochaganta, which is the banana flower preparation. So he remembers that. Madhavendra Puri remembers that. This, just think, remember, she is also Yashoda in Krishna Leela. What an extraordinary cook. Of extraordinary cooks, the most extraordinary cook. We think Mother Yashoda, Radharani has some special boon for her cooking. But here, told the Mochaganta of Sachimata. Man, there's two sannyasis meeting, ostensibly, Mahaprabhu and Rangapuri. And what is Rangapuri saying? At the house of Sachi Misra, we had this Mochaganta that was out of this world. And Mahaprabhu said, that's my mother. My mom cooked that. So visiting Advaita, who he initiates. Sometimes we're said you can judge the guru by his disciples. It's one way. Who are the disciples of Madhavendra Puri? Advaita Acharya, Nityananda, Paramananda Puri, Ishwara Puri. No. On his way to Jagannath Puri, he's heard of this glorious deity, Gopinath, in the town of Remuna. And he wants to have the darshan of Gopinath. And he visits Gopinath. He's so charmed by the deity. And he sees the seva there is very nice, and they cook some wonderful things. In fact, they have one sweet they make that is, they call Amrita Keli. It's a type of kheer, condensed milk, cooked down milk, condensed milk, kheer, that is something that is like a unique sweet that they prepare for Gopinath. And then Madhavendra Puri, he's thinking, oh, maybe they'll give me a little, I can try that and see how they make that, and we can offer that to Gopal. Then the time comes from the offering, there's the aarti, and then Madhavendra Puri starts thinking, I want to eat what the deity eats. What's wrong with me? This isn't the right mentality. So he's ashamed of himself. Yes, in the name of service to Gopal, I want to enjoy this. So I'm that kind of man. And he's disappointed with himself and thinking, maybe he should fast, undergo some sort of internal correction. He's ashamed to exhibit that type of mentality. He's off. That evening, Gopinath, the deity, appears to the pujari and says, I stole one pot. They offer 12 pots of kheer. The deity says, I stole one. And if you look, it's hidden under my cloth. And I want you to give it to the sannyasi known as Madhavapuri. He's a great devotee. I stole it for him. And so we're told that pujari thinks, well, I had this dream about the deity. He thinks it wise to bathe before going into the deity room. So he takes a bath, goes in, and pulls the cloth back, and there's a pot of kheer. And he's like, oh, not just a dream. And then, so he takes that pot of kheer and he starts going outside searching, and he's calling, the sannyasi named Madhavapuri. Is there a sannyasi named Madhavapuri? Please come. You're the most fortunate person. Gopinath has stolen kheer for you. And I'm Madhavapuri. Oh, you're so fortunate. Gopinath stole this kheer and told me I should give it to you. So Madhavapuri, he's taking all that kheer, all of it, he's feeling deep, ecstatic emotions. And this is such an extraordinary event. And to give you some insight into his mentality, the pot, like the clay pot that the kheer was in, after cleaning it thoroughly, he's taken then he breaks that pot into little pieces, and he's keeping it in a cloth. And we're told every day he opens the cloth and he takes one piece of the pot and he's eating that. But he also realizes that the word will spread, that he'll get pratishta, which is the enemy of devotion. Pratishta means self-establishment, name and fame. They're saying, when the people hear this, then they'll think that I'm a great devotee and this is the worst thing. They would rather be accused of other things. Right? Pratishta, the enemy of pure devotion. So he's fleeing that place. He's going to Jagannath Puri. But in the meantime, the deity who was before, he's called Gopinath, right? Now his name become modified, they're calling him Kheer Chor Gopinath. Chor means thief. So they're saying the Kheer Thief Gopinath. And now we see how Krishna prefers to be known in relation to his devotees. So Kheer Chor Gopinath. So this legend is spreading through the people. So Madhavendra Puri, even when he reaches Jagannath Puri, they've heard something, but he tells them about the dream of Gopal, dream/vision, where Gopal gave the order to get the sandalwood and the camphor. So everyone is very inspired if they can participate in that seva, be part of it. So they get the finest sandalwood, camphor, and in these days, even like now, it shows some parallel. He has to cross borders. That means deal with government agents. So they give him documents to show, what this is for, so that he won't be, and they're giving him some money to pay for the servitors, one man to carry, two, two assistants and their travel expenses, but they're also carrying documents to help them with, like, customs officials, you can say. So leaving Puri, of course, he returns to Ramuna to see have the darshan of Gopinath one more time. They're waiting with a pot of kheer. And that evening when he goes to sleep, Gopal appears again in the dream. So three dreams. First one, to discover him in the Govardhan. Second, to go get the sandalwood and the camphor. And now a third time, and Gopal says, actually, Gopinath and I are the same. Siddhanta dve vede pi shri shu krishna swarupaya. He knows Siddhanta, of course. It's the origin of all Siddhanta. He's saying, we're same, but different. If you will make all that sandalwood into pulp gradually and with the camphor and put that on the body of Gopinath, I'll also get relief. And we can understand, really, Gopal, he wants to glorify Madhavendra Puri. He doesn't want to trouble him. And it's indicated, maybe on the way back, there could be some trouble. After all, the Lord is omniscient. And these pastimes are taking place. It's the infinite moving amongst the finite. So how these pastimes will unfold in the world where finite agents are exercising their free will is an interesting subject. At any rate, Gopal tells him, you can give all the sandalwood and the camphor to Gopinath. And of course, the attendants of Gopinath, they're very happy to hear that. And he stays there for some time. Every day, they're putting sandalwood pulp and camphor on Gopinath. Right? So Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he's traveling with Nityananda, Jagadananda, Damodar, and Mukunda. They're making their way from Katva to Puri. So one of their first stops is in Ramuna. And it's there that Mahaprabhu, he's telling this story to Nityananda, because he heard this from his guru, Ishwara Puri, who's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. But he's telling this, right? And an important point to note is this appears in the around the fourth chapter of the Madhya Lila. Remember, as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat deals mainly in the Adi Lila pastimes from Nimai Pandit to the taking of sannyas. And then it more or less abruptly ends. Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam begins really with the sannyas of Mahaprabhu. The Adi Lila is mentioned in summary form, and the Antya Lila, or Shesh Lila, because it's divided into Adi Lila, Shesh Lila. Shesh means the final pastime, is divided into two, Madhya Lila and Antya Lila. And the Madhya Lila, which is vast, is the pastimes of Mahaprabhu taking sannyas and those pastimes in Jagannath Puri of Ratyatra, like that, Rupa Shiksha, Sanatan Shiksha, and other things. But here, when we get the Madhya Lila chapter 1, like more summary, chapter 2 is everything condensed. When Kaviraj Goswami says, maybe I'll leave the world. This is what, I've reached the stage. This is what I want to reveal to the readers. So in Madhya Lila chapter 2, he gives everything and insight into the ecstatic emotional interior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Gurudev would sometimes sing the Madhya Lila, chapter 2, all of it. He knows all of it. Guru Maharaj quoted it regularly there. And among many other things, we find this look that comes again from Radharani, saying, Na prema gandasti darapi mehoro kundami sobhagya param prakashitam. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prem, what to speak of a drop. And saying, but we see that sometimes you're crying uncontrollably, showing different ecstatic symptoms. And what is being expressed? Oh, that is just to cheat the people into thinking that I have something. So it's very mysterious and very perfect. So that's in the Madhya Lila chapter 2, and many expressions from the heart of Srimati Radharani are given there. So Kaviraj Goswami says, this is what I wanted to reveal. If I live long enough to finish this, I'll explain these things in more detail, but I'm giving them here so that it, at least you'll have this and you'll understand. It's all encouched in these expressions. But then in the Madhya 3, Mahaprabhu takes sannyas. So in Madhya 4, the first place they visit is Remuna. And again, this is not a coincidence, anecdotal, peripheral, or secondary. It's of primary importance. Because telling this Madhavendra Puri is the, the Krishna Prema Kalpatru, that the first sprout of this tree of Krishna Prema. And when Mahaprabhu concludes telling this, the glories of Madhavendra Puri as expressed here, he turns to Nityananda Prabhu and says, is there anyone with greater fortune than Madhavendra Puri? And if this is coming from Mahaprabhu, we understand it's not, hyperbole, flattery, that they just happen to be going by this particular place and he's offering some praise, some extreme praise to Madhava Puri. No, Mahaprabhu was questioning Nityananda Prabhu and saying, can you conceive of anyone more fortunate than he? And then he says, Kaviraj Goswami makes a very interesting, gives a very interesting example, because he wants to introduce the sloka that appeared from the heart of Madhavendra Puri before he left the world. That's why we're told the significance of his disappearance, because this came at that time, at his disappearance bed. And he said, this sloka of Rasa Kavya means the poetry of Rasa. It is the Kostuba money. Just as Krishna wears the Kostuba gem, that's the supreme gem of all gems, is the one that is worn by Krishna. He's saying, this is the Kostuba money of Rasa Kavya, what is expressed. And remember, we've just heard this whole pastime about sandalwood, rubbing the sandalwood and applying it to Gopal or Gopinath. And here he introduces this sloka by saying, just as by rubbing sandalwood, you get more and more fragrance. So by carefully considering this sloka in a similar way, more and more of its meaning, it has deep interior meaning, just like the sandalwood. There's a method for extracting that substance. Seeing, there's a method for extracting the substance that's in this sloka. Just like when we see the sandalwood stick pulp at different times, we see them. And I remember the first time we saw them, we're kind of amazed because it looks superficially ordinary. You think, all right, here's some wood from this tree. Of course, if you see the real good ones, even externally, they look somewhat extraordinary. But then to take those and against the grinding stone and see what they're converted into, and you realize this is what was in there all along and what's being extracted from there. So when this sloka, he says, it's from the heart of Srimati Radharani, Kaviraj Goswami is saying this, expressed through Madhavendra Puri, and besides Mahaprabhu, he said, there's not a fourth man who can really, truly appreciate this. I mean, Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Mahaprabhu. We will say as a footnote, the line of Mahaprabhu, Rupa, Swarup, Rupa, etc. But he expresses in that way. And what is told there, it's simple in its expression. And it says, Ayi Dina Dayadranata He Maturanatha Kadava Lakshase Hridayam Aloka Kartaram Doita Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. And it is not for us to, if not a fourth man can, what shall we say? All I can say, Gurudev once said about, he said, because Guru Maharaj explained to him something, and he just told me once, he said, the key is deen and doya, because deen means to be in the, we'll say in the position of need, and doya, mercy. Ayi dina dayadranath, hey maturnatha kadava lakshase. Radharani, Krishna's left Vrindavan, he's in Mathura. So you think, how will I go on in your absence? How to stand in separation? Mahaprabhu, when he would chant this, he would become so overwhelmed by ecstasy that he could not say the whole verse. He would go, Ayi Deen, Ayi Deen. By his own admission, he's saying, is there anyone equal in fortune to Madhavendra Puri? That's some hint of the wealth of Madhavendra Puri. And Kaviraj Goswami beautifully expresses this by Mahaprabhu's having taken sannyas, and the first place he goes to is this Remuna, and he's telling what he heard from Ishwarapuri. So now we can understand something, that he's taken sannyas and he's going to Jagannath Puri, which is the representation of Dwaraka. We can understand these pastimes are going to go in a particular direction. They're going to go in the direction of separation. Ratyatra, what is that? The zenith point of separation, as we've mentioned in the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that when he and Saraswati Thakur were on parikrama visiting holy places in India. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur who said, you know, we all know Vrindavan is for the, you know, hollow men, shallow thinkers. A man of real bhajan will prefer Kurukshetra. Guru Maharaj said, when he heard this from Saraswati Thakur, so the first time he heard it, he said, it was as if I fell out of the top of a tree. That's how shocking and astounding it was. He said, we're hearing up to this point, Vrindavan is the highest, the ultimate place. Only the highest section of liberated souls can gain entrance there. And now Guru is telling this. For the hollow man, the shallow thinker, he said, as if I fell out of the top of a tree. But it's, contextually, he's making a point, and Guru Maharaj's maxim that service, according to the intensity of its necessity, draws remuneration. So the greatest necessity for service will necessarily be in that place where separation is reached at zenith point, and that being Kurukshetra. So Radharani is at the greatest necessity of receiving assistance, service from her serving group at that time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, if I can enter that plane and render service there at that time, then never to come, you know, to any lesser position ever again. And we see when Mahaprabhu goes to Jagannath Puri, what is the focal point of his pastimes? For, we can say, 24 years, observing the Rath Yatra festival every year. It's not just a festival they observe. Like we have the calendar and so many festivals come. This is central to his pastimes. And what is it? It's that separation zenith point. He's in Radharani, Jagannath is Dwarka Krishna, and they want to take him to Vrindavan. By the ropes of love and affection, they're pulling him to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu, before the chariot of Jagannath, is all these heartfelt expressions in Radharani. So much so, we're told at one point when Nityananda spun off dancing madly in ecstasy, Advaita and others, Nityananda looks at one point and he sees, not that Mahaprabhu is merely in the mood of Radharani, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, heart and halo, but he sees Radharani herself dancing before Jagannath. He has that vision. And he stays somewhat removed to allow him to fully explore the terrain of her heart. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Razmad. Ekat Manavapi Bhuvi Puram Deham Bedam Gatoto Chaitanyakyam. Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita Nomi Krishna Surapam. So that's separation zenith point, and behind closed doors, what was expressed at the Uddhava Darshan, that means Brahmar Gita, behind closed doors was Srup Damodar and Ramananda. Right. So here, just having taken sannyas, Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Vadan, Kahan Korun, Kahan Pan, Brajendranandan, he's madly searching for Krishna. They come to Ramuna, he tells the story, heard from Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri and Gopal, that culminates in the expression of the Kaustubha Muni of Rasa Kavya, Ayi Dina Dayadranata He Mathura Nata Kudava Lakshase. So it's perfectly indicating the direction of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Madhavendra Puri Tiruba Mahamahotavati Tiki. Any questions? That are relevant.
Relevant.
What is the question?
One question is quite big, and it was the email forwarded to me by Ashutosh Krishna Prabhu from.
What is the general subject? Maybe it's something I said answered another time.
Yeah, I think that
is. Yeah. So then I will say this too. That few slokas are attributed to him, the Sandhya Vadana, Vadramvastu, anyway, that Mugdhammam Nigidantu Nitti Nipuna Brashtab Vaidika, these very fervent, intense, all comprehensive type slokas. One, Srila Gurudev had his wall, when he is showing his disappearance, pastime. And in this verse, Sandhya Vandana, Madhavendra Puri is begging forgiveness that he's not. Sandhya Vandana means Sandhya doing the, you know, at the right time, the mantra and the japa and the vandana, offering the prayers that are appropriate and following all these different things. But then he reveals why. He's asking forgiveness for that. He's saying, but I don't think it's necessary for me now. Because now he's not saying, but implying that due to intense Krishna connection, it's no longer necessary. Like the famous verse, what is it? Aradita. Yeah. Hare tapasya tatat kim, naradita yari hare tapasya tatat kim. If by performing austerities you don't worship Krishna, what's the point of those austerities? And if you've reached the point of worshiping Krishna, what is the point of austerities? You understand? If by doing them you don't achieve Krishna worship, they're not useful. And if you've achieved Krishna worship, there's no point. It's something like that. But he's saying, please forgive me if I appear to be neglectful. And once Srila Gurudev, his daughter was visiting Jayashri, and was pointing to that. But there's sort of like an obvious meaning and then like a little humorous meaning to it also, because he was unable to do so many different things. But he was, depending on his mood, taking it in either direction. But he put that on his wall in the last few weeks or so, and he would look at that and muse on that point. And then the other sloka, Madhavendra Puri is saying, he makes a list of everyone who stands in opposition to our pursuit of Krishna consciousness. Whether they be from the Vedic side of things, so-called, or relatives, society, the times we live in, the country. He lists everything imaginable of those who could be opposed to our pursuit of Krishna consciousness. And then he says at the end, you know, and you can think I've lost my mind, you know, I'm involved in something less than desirable, or you can think all these different things. He said, and you can add to the list that what I gave up all these things for, I've not achieved. Add that to it, that actually it would be one thing if I had it, but add to your list that I don't actually have this yet. He said, but I'm not going to budge an inch from the Govinda Pada Spriham, my aspiration to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. So it's actually a very beautiful prayer, and I think it's a prayer that speaks to the heart of anyone who's ever come in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement and has had to deal with those who are opposed to the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. And we're also told at the time of his passing that, so we have Ishwar, we see two disciples. The one side Ishwar Puri, the other side Ramachandra Puri. Ishwar Puri, we're told, with his bare hands, he's cleansing the stools of Madhavendra Puri. Right? To him, this is Chinmoy Seva. Right? It's not something objectionable. He has such a divine consciousness that this least of the least types of seva that one could do is an honor to him and does not affect his consciousness in any way. So he's blessed with the wealth of Madhavendra Puri, and this qualifies him to give initiation to Nimai Pandit when Mahaprabhu was still householder. On the other side is Ramachandra Puri, who we're told he's always finding fault with devotees and also entrapping them. Like he'll bring, he'll serve them prasadam. And they'll go like, I've had, no, take more. No, please, take more. He's going, more. And then they're going, okay. They take, and then he said, oh, overeating. I've heard that Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they eat a lot of prasadam. Not good. Then he sees some ants in the room of Mahaprabhu and said, oh, someone is secretly taking sweets here. In different ways. And Mahaprabhu, in response to his criticism, cut his eating in half and more. And this is breaking the hearts of the devotees. Until at last, Swarup Damodar had to say something. But that Ramachandra Puri, we're told, when Madhavendra Puri is leaving the world, he's actually in this deep state of separation. It's when he's echoing the sentiments from the heart of Srimati Radharani about separation from Krishna. But Ramachandra Puri thinks he's lamenting. Right? Like, he says, you know, haven't you read Bhagavad Gita? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati. No hankering, no lamentation. Now crying like a little girl. So Madhavendra Puri is expressing these beautiful divine sentiments, and Ramachandra Puri thinks he's like a mundane man, afraid of dying and overwhelmed at the time of death. He's trying to correct him with some general Brahmagyan. And we're told Madhavendra Puri goes like, get out, you sinful rascal. If I leave the world seeing your face or someone like you, I'll certainly go to hell. So he's like rejecting him at that time for this nonsense. But what does it tell us? That this is in the Chaitanya Charitamritam. This is Madhavendra Puri. Such an exalted soul as Madhavendra Puri can have someone around him like this. Why? We take it that these are pastimes. It is to show us something, to teach us something. A prakrita means it may appear like the mundane, but is not. Right? The great devotees, they're concealing themselves. We know this Madhavendra Puri, he fled Remuna after Gopinath stole the kheer from him to escape pratishtha. There's pratishtha, name and fame in the world, and we see what that does to people. That's not a good thing even. But what to speak of, we hear in Ramananda Samhita, the greatest fame is actually the reputation of having devotion to Krishna. Right? What to speak of Krishna Prem. And such a devotee as Madhuravendra Puri, fleeing Ramuna to escape that. But even in the midst of expressing these divine sentiments, someone is there to misread, to not understand the subjective aspect, to be overwhelmed by some mundane, external self projection, actually. Projecting his hellish mentality upon not only a higher Vaishnava, but the Prem Ankur of the Krishna Prem Kalpataru. So if such things are possible there, then what to speak of our position, how careful we shall be. Actually, only the higher Vaishnavas really can properly evaluate, assess who is a substantial devotee. Like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, dismissing so many who externally appeared to be advanced Vaishnavas. Well, Bhakshidas Babaji Maharaj, who appeared externally to not be, he cautioned his followers to revere him as a substantial Ragamarg devotee. So, I mean, he had the ability to see, to observe his spiritual substance, the substantial aspect of his spiritual personality. And no less than Mahaprabhu himself saying, "Na prema gandasti dharapi me haro." I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prem. What to speak of a drop of that divine substance? And we're told that is also echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani, who Guru Maharaj said sometimes saying, "I have this reputation of being a devotee of Krishna, the greatest devotee of Krishna, but I'm ashamed to admit I couldn't fully give myself to him. I couldn't, give myself as much as I should have." She's thinking like that. That's the proper. If she is, in fact, the greatest devotee of Krishna, and she's making such expressions, then how shall everyone else behave? So Srila Guru Maharaj said, if you think that you're Krishna conscious, he said, then you're finished. He didn't say, "Yeah, if you think you're Krishna conscious, no, it's not healthy." Or no. He said, "You're finished." He said, "But if you can candidly admit to yourself, as Madhavendra Puri says in his prayer, I've not got this, but I have no other shelter, I have no other goal," and you persist, "Asli shiva parvatam panastumam adarshanam marmatam karotuma," adarshan, not seeing the evidence of that. He said, "But you persist, you don't go away, you continue in line." The Lord said, "Then you just might be a devotee." It's always through inversion, indirect, being in need. Those who recognize their lack of qualification express the need for divine grace. With regard to which Guru Maharaj said, without the grace of Sri Guru, we are lifeless clay. That's the proper angle of vision of the devotee. Hare Krishna.